And what a great song. I was not a great believer in The Greatest Showman, I have to tell you. I feel like you should say The Greatest Showman in the Northern Irish accent. Does anybody else feel like that? Greatest Showman. It sounds much better, doesn't it, than Teesside. Anyway, I was not a great believer in it. And then you start listening and you start looking at the songs and you start hearing the songs and you think, wow, it's actually written for Christmas. A man learns who is there for him when the glitter fades and the walls won't hold. And that's Joseph, isn't it? Yeah. Thanks, Nathan. That's Joseph. Joseph is a man who's like, the glitter's faded. What is going on? And what about this one? For years and years, I chased the cheese, the crazy speed of always needing more. When I stop and see you here, I remember who all this was for. Isn't that a wise man? Yeah. Isn't that a wise man's song? Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And what about the last one? But the last one is brilliant. What's waited till tomorrow starts tonight. It starts tonight. Let this promise in me start like an anthem in my heart. That's Mary, isn't it? Something amazing is coming. But I want to just stick with this one line. This one line, from now on. I love that song. I love that song, from now on. Because it's a phrase of intent, isn't it? I'm going to do something. It's a New Year's Eve sort of phrase. I'm going to get fit. I'm going to join the gym. Don't join the gym in January. Join the gym in February. There's nobody there. Or so I've been told. I mean, you know. Yeah, exactly. From now on. I want us to think about the shepherds, because nobody trusts a shepherd. Where are our two shepherds this morning? I mean, Jake, Harry, sorry lads, nobody trusts a shepherd. Now, we have to tell you that the scholarship is out on this. Some scholars think that shepherds are the most incredible people that are in this story. And when Luke is writing Luke's gospel, when he's writing chapter two, we read this morning, he's talking about David, the city of David, and David was a shepherd. And so a lot of scholars think the shepherds were in the story because they are so good. But the other side of that is that for a lot of people, they think the shepherds were terrible, smelly, outcasts on the edge of society. And that fits better with my sermon, so we'll go with that one. Because no one trusts a shepherd. There's a Jewish book called the Mishnah, and the Mishnah was written about 170 AD, so a long time after Jesus. But it collects all sorts of arguments and discussions about the Jews. And one of the things it says, written probably at the time of Jesus, was that you should not buy goods off a shepherd because they would be stolen. You should not buy goods off a shepherd because they would be stolen. Another bit of the Mishnah says you should not allow a shepherd to give testimony in court because he would lie. Do you ever have that experience? Some of you? Are you distrusted? Let's find out. Put your hand up if you're a Scouser. If you've been on holiday anywhere, people lock their rooms. I mean, we moved from... I would like to say it's only a joke, but it's true, isn't it? We moved from Buckinghamshire, darling, to Merseyside. Quick, get the wheels. And our friends 13 years ago going, what are you going there for? I mean, you've got out of Teesside. Why would you go to Merseyside? No one trusts a shepherd. And yet we have this incredible thing happen. Incredible thing happen. Let's assume these guys are the edge. Let's assume these guys are untrusted. Let's assume these guys have nothing. They bring nothing. Well, for so many of us, that's how we feel. We feel like we bring nothing and nobody trusts us and we've got nothing to give. And this incredible thing happens during the Christmas story because God trusts shepherds. Now, we know King Dave was a shepherd and we know they should have had a great reputation, but they didn't. And they didn't because, if you think about it, it's not a great job. It's still not a great job. They've never got paid a lot of money. It's not a brilliant thing to do. But here we have God trusting these people. God coming and speaking to these shepherds. Or the angels coming and speaking to these shepherds. Now, you might think that in heaven, the Lord says, Gabriel, take some lads out, find some guys to speak to. Anybody will do. This is not accidental. This is deliberate. He is redeeming. The Lord is redeeming the shepherds. They will always have a place of honor in the Christmas story. And one of the amazing things about this weekend is if you are on social media in any way, have a little look at the nativity stories being told across the world. Because we are on point right now as a church. Because every church, especially in the Western world, is doing nativity today. Every single one of them. From, you know, Hillsongs and those massive guys, you know, the Sydney guys doing with professional singers and actors, to tiny little chapels with tinsel and tea towels. And everybody in between are telling this incredible story of people who are on the edge, who are mistrusted, who have nothing, having an encounter with God where the Lord says, you go and tell the good news because you've got something to bring. It's an incredible, incredible thing. Your name will be restored. I don't know what your name is like. I don't know what your reputation is like. Do people know you? Do people know who you are? I have this fantastic thing happens to me, or happens to my older brother in the Northeast. He went to a funeral recently, and he's not a Christian, my brother. He thinks I'm a vicar. I've tried to educate him, but it doesn't work. And he went to a funeral recently, and somebody said to him, what's Nick doing now? He said, oh, he's a vicar. And this girl said, no, Nick. And he said, he's a vicar. She said, bloody hell. I thought Nathan would like that. My name has been restored. My name has been restored. Because the angels have come. Because Jesus has come. Your name this morning can be restored. And it gets restored because of what Jesus brings. He brings good news. The really strange thing about the New Testament, actually there's lots of them, isn't there? I love the really strange things about the New Testament. But one of them is this word gospel. Have you heard that word?
Yes.
Gospel. It's an ancient English word. Alfred the Great would have used the word gospel. God spell. Gospel. It's an ancient English word. The Greek word is euangelion. It means good news. And Luke uses it deliberately in Luke chapter 2 because good news is not just a Christian thing. That's shocking, isn't it? Good news is not just a Christian thing. Luke mentions Caesar Augustus in chapter 2. And when Caesar Augustus was born, or years after his birth, one of the Roman writers said it was truly good news that Caesar was born. He brought life and hope to the people. You could apply that to Jesus, couldn't you? And Luke's asking you this question. And he's asking me this question. What sort of good news are you? And what sort of good news do you bring? And what sort of good news does the church bring? Is it just a religious gospel? Is it a misery gospel? And those of you who know me, I hate the misery gospel. You know, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. I know! Do you know?
Yes.
He's the gospel. Jesus Christ died for you. He loves you. He says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy burdened. Come to me, you who are shepherds on the edge, who are distrusted and disappointed. Come to me. That is the gospel of Jesus. Or it's a bit of it. Because it is a big bit of good news. It's a big bit of good news for those who are on the high and those who are on the low. It is a big bit of good news. And we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that this good news changes everything. From now on. From now on. If you're not committed to Jesus, why don't you give him a try? Why don't you give him a try? This is good news for you. If you confess your sins, if you say you're sorry, God, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just. And he will forgive you of all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. And he will call you into his family. And from now on, you will be home again. Isn't that a cracking song? From now on, home. I would sing it to you, but I do want to destroy your Christmas. What is God saying to you this morning? What is God saying to you this Christmas season? And what are you going to do about it? Let's pray together. and the worship team are going to come and lead us again. Lord, thank you for all those who have taken part, Lord. Lord, thank you for your presence with us. Lord, thank you that if we're in the midst of sorrow right now, you don't leave us because it's Christmas. Lord, if we're facing the loneliness and the loss that Christmas often magnifies, Lord, we thank you that you don't leave us. You say, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you chose to come and that in coming you gave this good news for all people. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Come on, worship team. Just as the worship team come, I just want to say one more thing. Christmas, if you read the Christmas story, what you encounter is a very vulnerable story. It's a very vulnerable story. The hope of the world is in a baby. And the angels come and sing, but they don't seem to hang out with the swords. He has to go through all the stuff. There's this young woman who has to have this baby. It's a very vulnerable story. The people who are given the message to bring are foreigners and dodgy characters. Scousers and Geordies. It's a vulnerable story, which means it's yours because you're a vulnerable people. No perfect people, but a perfect God.